All right, thank you for that, Mark. We are back in our discipleship series. We will probably be in this for a good while as we're going through it for the church. Of course, you understand. We've been doing discipleship on Thursday nights as a church since we were in the old building, probably 1999 we started it, and we've rewritten the material on several times, and so we rewrote it. I rewrote it last year during the COVID, and typically when someone takes someone through discipleship and we'll go through the book, it's usually about a chapter a week, although we don't speed through it, but I'm just going. It'd be more concise if I did this. We're just going until we finish, and then we'll pick it up next week because I really want you to get it, and I want us to understand. It's very important that we understand Bible doctrine. And it's very important we understand the basics that we are trying to get to new converts. If we don't understand it, it's kind of hard for us to pass that on to somebody else. And so I want us to get that. We are in, it's chapter 2, but I think in the book it's considered chapter 3. The introduction is considered chapter 1. We're talking about first steps. We've already talked about salvation, and we looked at Jesus, and we looked at what salvation is all about. We started looking last time, which is probably, I don't know if I was out of town that Thursday, maybe 3 weeks ago. And so we're going to pick it up where we left off. By way of remembrance, of course, as we're looking at the chapter on first steps, there are two things that we want to get across as we are now saved. We came out of the salvation chapter, and those two things are baptism, and the second one is eternal security. The first step, baptism, shows our desire to be obedient. The second step is very practical, and it gives us security in our newfound faith. Now, we were looking at baptism, and in your book, I think it's page 20 where we're at. By the way, if you don't have a book, we still sell them. They're over here. They're $5. They cost us about $8. These are what we'll use for our new converts and so forth. If you didn't get one, I do encourage you. We're still at the beginning stages. If you've missed any of the sessions, I believe they are messages. They are online. I think there you can see them on our website through our YouTube channel. We were talking about the four key questions. We answered two of them, and I want to keep going. We're at page 20, okay? So let's pick it up right here. When should I be baptized? When should I be baptized? Well, if you look at the early church, by the way, the word when is the word you put in there. I guess sometimes I blow through things and you don't get the words, and then people are coming up. I think they're coming up to say thank you for the message. They're like, hey, what was that word that you didn't tell us? It's the word when, okay? But the little chapter there. If we look at the early church in the Bible, the pattern is very clear. Once a person received Jesus Christ, they were baptized, and the word there is immediately. And that's a key thing, immediately. Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, it says, and they that gladly received his word, those that were at Pentecost and heard Peter preach, and they got saved, as soon as they were saved and they heard the word and they received it, they were baptized. There was no waiting period. They went and got baptized. Acts chapter 36 and verse 37, it says, and as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Well, that answers the question right there. By the way, I think a couple weeks, when last time we met and I talked about it, that verse is taken out of all of the new translations or false translations of the Bible. So it's like, what doth hinder me to get baptized? And they take that verse out. The next verse, out into the water he goes. No. You have to be saved to be baptized, but once you're saved, you are to be immediately or as soon as possible baptized. Amen. There is no reason for a believer to wait to be baptized. Amen. Now, there are some churches that are like that. They want to question the convert. They want to make sure that they're living right. That's not the picture we see in the Bible. As he preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, and the eunuch got the message and said, what's keeping me from being baptized? If you believe with all your heart, Jesus, I believe. Yeah. Stop the chariot. Yep. Let's get baptized. Amen. Very important. The only prerequisite, is, have they sincerely and scripturally trusted Christ as their Savior and become a Christian? What if, by the way, it's silly for us to want to see a new convert become obedient in their Christian life before they get baptized, when we're stopping them from being obedient in the first step of obedience, which is baptism. That's like saying, we want you to be obedient, but we want you to start being obedient by being disobedient. That's not how it works. You say, well, what if they're not sincerely saved? That's between them and God. And you know how I feel, and we talked about it in salvation, when you're winning to someone to Christ, you need to make sure you're preaching the gospel to them, and you need to make sure they understand. We're not talking people into getting saved. We're not coercing people into getting saved. We share the gospel, we let the Holy Spirit convict them, and then we ask them to make a decision. We don't try to say, just pray, you understand all of that. Next question, how should I be baptized? The word is how. How should I be baptized? Look at the little paragraph there. Bible baptism has always been by, and the word is immersion, which means to be completely covered in the water. That is what the word baptism means, immersed or dunk. That's what it means. It's not even really debatable. Well, I believe baptism is, you know, this way, and you don't have to immerse or you sprinkle or whatever the other things are. No, that's not a debate because that's not what the word means. Okay, we're just going by what the word means. In order to believe that baptism should be done in a different way, you must totally forsake the meaning of a word. By the way, our society does that all the time, do they not? Political correctness tries to redefine words. Well, you can't redefine what the Bible says. The Bible says baptism, that's immersed. That's like saying pizza means a piece of meat between two buns. No, that's a hot dog or that's a hamburger, okay? A pizza's a pizza, all right? Baptism is immersion, to go under the water. And we'll look at that a little bit more. It does not mean sprinkle. By the way, it would be so much easier to sprinkle. We could just do drive-by baptisms. You come in, open your window, I stick my finger, and like, boom, I can do it behind my back, you know, and hey, you're baptized, on your way. By the way, we had people to get baptized last week in the baptism, and the baptistry had a electrical issue. You know, there. By the way, I was going to say this. There's small glitches that may come the first few weeks, so bear with us, okay? You know, the air conditioner may at times get a little cold. We're figuring it out, right? I don't like the lights that are bleached on the screen. The guy's coming to teach us how to use those, and there's a way to turn them off, but he hasn't taught us that yet, so he's coming out. We're going to have a class on all of that. So bear with us. We're adjusting as you're adjusting. But the baptistry works. I was in there today doing a sound check on it. It was really, really nice, and I can't wait to drown somebody in there, okay? Last Sunday, I think we had 3 people lined up, so they're still lined up, and maybe some more. We're going to baptize on Sunday. It's going to be great. And by the way, the water warms up nicely. Anybody in here ever get baptized in the old building and the heater went out? Who was it? Joseph, was that your son? I saw he was like shivering. The poor kid was freezing to death. But that won't happen anymore. We got this taken care of. Now, continuing on. That's why people in the Bible were baptized by going into the water. Mark chapter 1, verse 9 and 10. And it came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized of John the Jordan. And he went straightway coming up out of the water. Well, I know this. If you're coming out of the water, you were in the water. I mean, years ago, when I was still in Bible college, my wife and I got married before the last year I was there, and I was a bus captain, and she was on our bus route also. We got married, you know, and so one of the bus families like, hey, we're going to have you over for dinner, you know, and you know, you're married now, so we came, and so we were sitting there, and you know, the bus captain's there, the guy from the church, and they put a Jesus movie on while we were eating dinner. And I happened to look over at the scene in Jesus' life where he's getting baptized, and he goes down into water. John the Baptist goes down into the water. It's above their waist. And then John comes out with a bowl of water and pours it on them. I'm thinking, you could have done that, or you know, you could have done that on the land. Okay, that's not baptism. You know what that was? That was a bowl of water poured over your head. That's all that was. So you have to be, You have to be immersed. Also, in there, when speaking of baptism, the Bible uses the word buried. That shows us again that Bible baptism is done by immersion. Look at the verses that we have there. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Romans 6, 4. Therefore we are, there's that word, buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. That's the picture. How many of you have ever been to a funeral, and at the graveside, they said a few words, took a handful of dirt, threw it on top of the casket, and left? That's not what they do, right? They bury the body. And that's the picture there. We're buried with him. It's also referred to in the Bible as planting. When something is planted, it is buried. That the verse isn't in your book there. I've added some as I've studied it. I should have rewrote the book after I wrote it. Romans 6, 5, for if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we should also in the likeness of his resurrection. To be baptized by immersion is vitally important because the method of baptism is wrapped up in the meaning of baptism. Understand that. The method of baptism, and this is in your book, this is something extra, the method of baptism is wrapped up in the meaning. What do we mean? Well, as we have seen, baptism is a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And this is a picture of that. So if it is not done the correct way, it is not an accurate picture of baptism. It is not an accurate picture of what Jesus Christ has done. Sprinkling will never do it. By the way, there's a church, the Brethren, I think, denomination, some of them, they baptize this way. They baptize correctly except for one difference. They'll take someone and say, I baptize you in the name of the Father, splash, splash. The name of the Son, splash two. And the name of the Holy Ghost, splash three. So you better make sure you're breathing correctly when they're putting you under there. Okay, Jesus didn't resurrect from the grave three times. Now they're doing it correctly in one sense, but not in another sense. Very important. If baptism pictures a death and burial and resurrection of Christ, then it is foolish to say that the mode of baptism is not important. It's very important. It's not just some religious exercise that we do. It is something that's vitally important and has meaning to it. And so if the mode is not right, then it's a wrong picture. That'd be like you saying, hey, if I was somewhere, you say, can I see a picture of your wife? And I just pull out any old picture of any old woman. So, oh, here you go. Here, that's a picture. So, that's not your wife. Well, it's a picture. A picture is unimportant. It's kind of like I was at someone's family. Brother Ross, I don't mean to throw you under the bus and back up over you. I think at one of the Christmas parties, we were at your house, and they had pictures on the wall. And you know how when the pictures come with a fake picture already in it, right? Some of you were over at Brother Ross's house. I'm like, that's not your family. I know your family. That's the picture that was in there. It was not a representation of his family. Now they were better looking than Brother Ross's family for sure. Okay, but that wasn't his family. The picture is very important, and so we need to understand that. That's what baptism is doing. Look back at the book now. Now that we've answered the four key questions about baptism, let us briefly look at our options. Remember, if we don't get the first steps right after salvation, then we will struggle to take the next steps in our faith. That's very important. You see, people come to Christ from many different situations. I came to Christ as a teenager, never really went to church. And when I came, I got saved. I knew I was saved. God had been convicting my sin and all of that. You've heard that many times, I'm sure, over the years. And I got saved, but I didn't get baptized right away, and I didn't live for God right away. Now, I was saved, and I knew it. And God was dealing with me very harshly those 2 years. But it's funny, when I got right with God and started going to church, no one told me anything. But as I sat in church, I'm like, I gotta get baptized. I've never been baptized. Why? That's the first step of obedience. That is, and I didn't do that, and I wasn't obedient, but when I decided I wanted to be obedient, what came to the forefront of my mind right away was, I've never been baptized. I better get baptized. Amen. And so it's very important. I don't want to struggle, and I don't want anybody else to struggle. So let's understand this. What are our options? Let me give you a couple. What if I was baptized before? The words before I was saved. By the way, I know some folks like that. Sometimes they, maybe they're in a church and maybe they pressure sometimes. I prayed, but I didn't really understand it, and I didn't do it, and I was embarrassed about it, and then they get saved later. But they were already baptized, right? Okay, what if we were saved? Others get baptized in different belief systems at different times. Catholics baptize you when you're a baby. Now, a baby, as we looked at before, the baby doesn't understand that they're unsaved and they need Jesus Christ. So that baptism didn't mean anything. And it was not proper baptism in its mode anyhow. What if I was baptized before I was saved? Well, look at the booklet there. Unfortunately, baptism before salvation doesn't mean anything. Because of this. Baptism is an outward symbol of our inward faith. It's an outward symbol of our inward faith. And an outward symbol is worthless if there's nothing inward to back it up. Just a religious exercise. It doesn't do anything for you. It's just like the symbol of a wedding ring. A married person wears a wedding ring as a symbol of their marriage. The ring is put on after the vows are made. A wedding ring does not make you married. It's a symbol that you are married. And for some guys like myself, you have to wear it to keep the ladies away. You know how that is, right? Don't laugh, that hurts. But I'm not married because I have a wedding ring and I wear it. That doesn't make me married. It didn't. But I wear it because I want people to know I'm not ashamed that I am married. And so that's a symbol of that marriage. A symbol represents an event that has transpired. So if the event has not transpired, the symbol is worthless. So before we were married, I could have wore a wedding ring. But I'm not married. Doesn't make me married. All it is a symbol. And the symbol is only really accurate, and the symbol is only really effective if it is proper time and proper place. And so if I'm baptized, what I'm saying is, hey, I've trusted Christ as my Savior. I'm not ashamed of that. And my old life is dead, and I'm buried with Him. And I am raised out of the water, resurrected to a new life. I can walk in newness of life. That's what that represents. And if I was baptized before I was saved, it has no meaning. If you were baptized as a Mormon, and as you were a former Mormon, and you were baptized before, and then you get saved, your Mormon baptism doesn't count. Maybe you were baptized and you didn't know what was going on and you weren't saved and you got saved later. You need to get baptized. It's after salvation. Next. What if I don't get baptized? What if I don't get baptized? Not getting baptized could be compared to a spouse who refuses to wear their wedding ring. They would still be married, but they are probably, and maybe that's a strong term, not in a happy marriage. Now, have any of you ever lost your wedding ring? How many of you have your original wedding ring still? Anybody? You wear that. Josh? Hannah was hoping you'd know. Good. Okay, this is like probably my fourth one. And I lost one at work. Not that I'm, I upgrade. In the last one, I don't know what happened to it. I mean, I'm like, wait a minute. I know I had that thing on. And I remember usually during the summer, wife and I will just take a day off together and just go do things. And we were walking through Seal Beach, and I didn't have my ring. I had lost it. We went into it was a little antique store. They had rings there. I was like, let me just get a wedding ring here. I better wear one. Okay? I'm not ashamed to be married. And I went in there and I found one. It's supposed to be an antique. I think she lied to me. It just looks like a regular ring. But it's important. Why? Because it represents something. And so if I don't get baptized, what I'm saying is, maybe we're saying we don't understand it. We're ashamed of it. We don't want to do that. And by the way, sometimes people don't wear their wedding ring because they don't want to be faithful in their marriage. By the way, if you don't want to wear your wedding ring, shame on you. You should wear that thing. Well, I just look, guys, sometimes we don't do well with jewelry, okay? It's a wedding ring. Wear your wedding ring. I want to be faithful to Christ, though. Now, let's move on. We have seen that baptism is a step of obedience. If we don't get baptized, if you don't get baptized, you're not being obedient. If you are not obedient in the first step of your faith, you will probably not take subsequent steps of faith. Now, before we move on, it's imperative we just understand how important baptism is. All you have to do if you want to understand how important the baptism is, go to the Great Commission. Okay? Jesus didn't just tell them, go out, preach the gospel to everybody. Just go get the gospel out. What else did he tell them to do? To baptize them. So apparently, if Jesus included that in the Great Commission, it's a big deal. It's not just an add-on that you can take or leave. It's something that he really wants us to do. And so if we're out trying to get the gospel to people, once they get saved, then we ought to get out to try to encourage them to get baptized too. It's part of the Great Commission. That's a big deal, as is the other parts of the Great Commission. By the very fact that it's a part of the commission means it's important. Just as certainly as the disciples are to baptize those who get saved, those that get saved are to be baptized. It's just point blank. And so, very, very important. What if I was baptized? The next question, the wrong way. If you were baptized before you were saved, then baptism has no meaning. If you were baptized before you got saved, then all you did was get wet. We had bus kids when I was in Bible college in the summer. You know, we'd have the kids, they get saved, and they'd want to go get baptized. And a couple of, you know how kids can be sometimes. If it was summertime, they'd try to sneak in there to get baptized again. Why? It's hot. I want to get in the pool. It's not a pool, okay? We're trying to teach the kids, no, this is a big deal. All you did, though, was get wet. You cannot take a step of obedience in your salvation if you are not saved. As I mentioned before, you can wear a wedding ring if you're not married, but it has no significance. And so if you were baptized before you were saved, there's the wrong timing of baptism. Next paragraph, if you got baptized any other way than by immersion, then you have not been biblically baptized. Baptism means immersion, and any other way that does not immerse you underwater is not true baptism. Well, I've been baptized, but it was not the proper way. Then that's the wrong type of baptism. And so we need to get all of that right. Now, before we finish and move on to the next subject here, we'll get started on it in a second. It is vital that we completely and thoroughly comprehend the importance of baptism. So let me say this. If you've been saved and you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized. Amen. Say, when should you get baptized? Find a place that has a baptistry and find a time that you can get baptized Sunday and get baptized. Yep. Don't wait. And I know sometimes there's an embarrassment factor, right? Maybe people thought I was this or that, or maybe, hey, look, there's no embarrassment factor. It's a party. Yeah. It's a testimony. Yeah. It's exciting. It's like somebody is saved and they're not ashamed of Jesus Christ. How would it be if a soldier showed up for training and all this, and he's given a direct command, and he says, you know, let me think about that. Jesus gave us direct command. If you trusted me as Savior, let's get baptized, okay? We should not really think of baptism as a choice. Whether or not we get baptism is a matter of two things. You ready? Just make it real simple. I like simple. It's a matter of obedience, or it's a matter of disobedience. That's it. And so it's very, very, very important that believers get baptized. Now, let's just give, we have 10 minutes left or so, let's give a little introduction to the next of the two first steps that we need to understand. And this will help you. Eternal security. Eternal security. Eternal security is the biblical teaching that once you receive Christ as your Savior, you have received eternal life. Okay? Does that mean I go immediately to heaven? No. Although some of you, you know, okay. I wouldn't mind. No. But it means that you are in possession of it. Even though you're not living it, it's settled. It's not a future event. It's a present possession that you have. Nothing you do will ever keep you from it. In other words, you can never lose your salvation once you have received it. And by the way, I am thankful for that.
Amen.
Because we need salvation because we're sinners, but here's the bad news. We're still sinners after we get saved.
Yeah.
And so there would always be that conflict in our mind. Yeah, and I don't understand people. There are, you know, you sin, you can lose your salvation. Okay, if God made it very clear when we need salvation, wouldn't he make it clear when we can lose it?
Yeah.
I've read the Bible a lot of times, and I've never read where that point is where you lose it, okay? And we're going to look at a lot of things that will help us understand that, because it is important that we do not. We're not up in the air about that. Next little thing. A lack of understanding of your eternal security will hinder you from growing in your faith because you will constantly doubt your salvation. Constantly. Now, sometimes Satan does try to get us to doubt our salvation, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You know, he's such a liar. Well, that's what the Bible says. But, you know, before you sin, he's like, go ahead. You're saved. Come on, you're forgiven. It's not a big deal. And as soon as he does it, he's like, really? How can you be saved if you're doing that? He throws that at us. And if we're always up in the air and we're always insecure and there's doubt, we're kind of double-minded. And we're going to be double-minded about everything that we do. Many of us, you probably been to the Golden Gate Bridge. During the construction of the Golden Gate Bridge, 11 people died falling. Actually, they did a really good job of that. Usually, they typically expected more. It was built, in the 30s. But something interesting happened. So what they did is the first part of the span of the bridge, when they built it, they didn't have a net. They didn't want to spend the money. It was expensive. And people died. And so what they decided to do, the second half, they said, we're going to put a safety net. And the safety net actually caught some men who fell and saved their lives. That was the purpose of the safety net. But when they started to look at it, you know what they found out? After they installed the safety net, the construction progressed at 25% faster pace because the men were secure in working there. They knew that if they fell, they had the security of the safety net. You know, if we're constantly doubting our salvation, you know, think about what we're doubting. We're doubting that we are in the family of God. We are doubting, you know, we're doubting everything about that. And it's going to play on our minds because heaven's a wonderful place. We don't want to miss it. And hell's a horrible place. We don't want to go to it. And so living with that, that's why this whole thing of foolishness, you know, like, you know, it's your sins. You get to heaven and there's a great scale, right? Good over here, bad over here, more bad, you go to hell, more good, you go to heaven. Well, look, I believe in the scale system, but here's my belief. One sin is heavier than all the good you'll ever do, and everybody's a sinner. We lose.
Yeah.
And I don't want to spend my life like, am I going to make? No, no, no. God's given us the security of once we have trusted Christ,
yeah,
it's been settled.
Amen.
See, eternal security doesn't make us sloppier in our faith. It ought to make us more fearless. See, people say, well, you know, if you believe in, it's funny, the type of churches that believe you lose your salvation, those type of churches are very loose in what they believe about righteous living. You ever notice that? Man, if I believed I could lose my salvation, I don't think I'd do anything or go anywhere. I definitely wouldn't drive on the freeway. I think bad things when I'm on the freeway. You know, someone cuts you off. It's like, praise the Lord, they're in a hurry. I'm like, brother, where'd you get that driver's license? Somebody was driving today, and somebody's like, some car's like, I'm like, that person's drunk. And I pulled up next to him, and it's a lady on her cell phone, okay, in a Beamer. I'm like, oh, that Beamer's not going to last very long. Okay, but I'd be afraid. And knowing that I'm saved and on my way to heaven, it's secure, doesn't make me sloppy in my faith. It makes me thankful that I'm secure. It makes me want to serve my Lord when we think about it even greater. Think about the disciples. When they had security in their faith, they took off. Remember? Jesus said, and we'll mention it a little bit on Sunday, Jesus said, you know, hey, you're all going to forsake me when I'm arrested. And sure enough, they did. These men were fearful for their life. And then just, Peter denied the Lord, and what was it, 50 days later, he's preaching fearlessly at Pentecost? What changed the disciples from being fearful to fearless? Well, they met the resurrected Christ. Once they met the resurrected Christ, that security kicked in. And you couldn't stop them. They were threatened, they were beaten, they were persecuted. Nothing was going to stop them. And so we need that kind of security when it comes to our salvation. The fact of our eternal security, moving on in the book, comes from God's word, not our feelings. There may be times when we don't feel saved. You can put a little note off to the side when the alarm clock goes off. When you're hungry. Okay, what is that? What's the word, hangry? I'm not mad. I'm not angry. I'm hangry. I'm hungry. And just bring it on. Okay. But our salvation doesn't depend on our feelings. Thank God for that. Our feelings come and go. And there are times you read your Bible and it's like, woo, heaven came down. Other times it's like, I don't want to touch that thing. I'm tired. I want to. Because we're not supposed to live by our feelings. I don't need feelings. In fact, when the feelings aren't there, it's glad that I can just look and say, you know what, the scripture says this. Very important. Let's understand that. Why am I saved? Well, if you've sincerely and you know you've trusted Christ, you understood the gospel, and to the best of your ability, you put your faith 100% in Jesus Christ. When those things come, it's like what the Bible says. I'm not trusting what I think. The Bible's very clear about it, and we're going to look at some verses here as we get on into this chapter later on that help us. Feelings are fickle. Here are some Bible truths. Let's look at the first one regarding salvation and eternal security, and then we'll stop for tonight. This is simple, right? We did not work to receive salvation, therefore, we do not work to retain it. That's logical, isn't it? If I did not have to work to get it, how come I have to work to keep it? I'm thinking if God wanted me to work in regards to salvation, I would have had to work to get it, not to keep it. If he gave it by grace, then he's going to let us keep it by grace. It's logical to recognize that if we did not have to work to receive salvation, we would not have to work to keep it. If there was nothing, and by the way, there is nothing we can do to earn salvation, then there is nothing we can do to lose it. Let's just look at this verse and we'll be done. You say, well, I know this verse. Well, this is one you should know. Frontwards, backwards, sideways, you name it. For by grace, you could stop right there and have a fit, are you saved through faith? That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But there's some knots in this verse, huh? It's not of ourselves. Nothing you did about it. You know, salvation didn't originate with us. We didn't stop and say, Lord, can we work? Can you find a way to work this thing out so we can go to heaven? God had that planned before we ever sinned. God already had it figured out. Not of ourselves. It's not of works. What does it mean if not of works? It means not of works. There's nothing you can do. I like the verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, if it was of works, we could get to heaven one day and say, wow, I'm here because of all that I did. You know, that's not going to happen. Let me explain how it's going to happen when you get there. Wow, I'm here. I hope he doesn't throw me out. Does he remember who I was? Does he know I don't deserve this? And you know what that's going to make me? Look, we talked through Revelation several years ago and talked about, you know, all the singing and praising God in heaven. It's going to be really easy. We get there, I'm here. And by the way, I can't even comprehend heaven. I mean, I know it's there and I know what the Bible says. And you think about it, it's like, it just blows my mind. But I know this, when I get there, the first thought isn't going to be, I deserve this. The first thought's going to be, Wow, God's wonderful.
Yeah.
It's real, and it's a gift. It has nothing to do of ourselves. And why don't we stop right there? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for how you want to work in our life. And Father, we don't deserve the least of your mercies. We really do not. And I'm so grateful you saved us. And Lord, I just pray you'd help us as we go through the booklet over the next few months. I pray be thankful for what we believe. And Lord, also help us to understand it so we can share it with others. Thank you for all you do. Thank you for a great night. Thank you for these folks that came. Bless us now as we go our way until we meet together again on Sunday. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.